Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Oops. Is anybody here religious? You're laughing, but it's actually kind of a serious question. Well, we're here, but I had an interesting conversation with somebody the other day. He was listening to my podcast. For those of you who don't know, I record the messages and I put them on the internet in this podcast form. And somebody who hadn't listened to me preaching before listened to the sermon I did a couple weeks ago. And he came back and he said to me, you know, it's a good thing that there are a lot of religious, it's good for me to know that there are religious people around here. And it kind of set me back a little bit because I'm not a religious person. I try to avoid religion. You're thinking, well, what are you doing standing here if you're avoiding religion? This isn't religion. What we as Christians have, we have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And that's different from religion. You see, in all the religions of the world, apart from Christianity, what you see, the one common thing that all these religions have is that it's mankind struggling to reach God. We don't have that struggle because God has reached down to us. We don't have far to go. But everybody else out there is trying to reach God. Our scripture lesson is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Love God. Simple as that. It's a relationship. I love my wife, and I hope she loves me too. Oh, thank you. And in the relationship that we haven't really set up rules. And you see a lot of times in the Christian church, you see a lot of, there's a lot of rules sometimes. And sometimes Christianity can be religion. You can come here on Sunday and you can get religion, but that's you. That's you getting religion. We sometimes spend our Christian life trying to follow rules. You know, there's all kinds of rules we can have. There's rules I've seen in churches. There's rules about, oh, you're not supposed to drink alcohol. You're not supposed to play cards. You're not supposed to do anything on Sunday after church. You're supposed to just go home from church on Sunday and sit on the porch and wait for Monday to come. We get these rules in the church, and you know what? We can't follow them. You know, we look a lot of times at the Old Testament, in particular, like the Ten Commandments. It's like, okay, well, we follow the Ten Commandments. Well, rules have been added on to those. There are books and books written by rabbis who've been written over the centuries about what exactly God meant in the Ten Commandments. There's like, you know, keeping the Sabbath holy. We're not supposed to work on Sunday. That's how we look at it sometimes today. Well, the Sabbath is Saturday, for one thing. But there is a rule in one of these books. It's like, okay, you're supposed to have all your cooking and everything prepared the day before. And on the Sabbath, you don't do any work. Okay? Now, if you live in a house with a dirt floor, as people did back in olden times, people had dirt floors. If you're sitting in a chair, this is one of the rules that's written down in that the rabbis wrote this rule down. If you're sitting in a chair and you stand up, if your chair moves an inch and scrapes the dirt on the floor, you have just plowed a field and you're in violation of the Sabbath law. That's ridiculous. We get these, we come up with these rules when all we have to do is love God. You know, again, Robin and I, in our loving relationship, we don't cheat on each other. I don't think we ever sat down and said, okay, here's this rule. You're not going to mess around with other guys and I'm not going to mess around with other women. We never sat down and made that rule, but because I love her, I don't cheat. We don't need to sit down and make this list of rules because there's love. We don't have to do the things God tells us to do, but if we love him, we'll do them anyway. He loves us. He loved us first. We just sang about it in the song. It's in the Bible. I can't remember the verse. Can you look it up? Well, there's that, certainly. John 3:16, we all know that by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much he loves us. We love him because he first loved us. It's part of that not having to reach out to him because he reached out to us. It's just some people haven't noticed. Some people have a hard time understanding that. I couldn't tell you how many people there are that I've tried to reach out to and tell them about God's love. And it's like, well, okay, I understand that and I believe that, and I'll turn to God as soon as I'm good enough. I've got things in my life that I need to get in order first before I can start following God. Well, you know what? I don't think any of those people ever got those things into order. We just need to reach out, and we don't even need to reach out far. He loved us first. That's why he sent his son, so that we could have this relationship. Robin and I have a friend who, two weeks ago today, our friend Rob died. It's a young man we went to high school with. He had cancer. He spent a long time suffering. And as I understand it, he was terrified of death. He knew it was coming, and it terrified him. Well, he grew up in the church. His parents took him to church every week when he was a kid. He continued going to church, but he was afraid of death because all he had was religion. He went to the church and he did his duty. He said his prayers. He went to confession. He took the sacrament, but it was all just religion. It was all going through motions. He was afraid of death because he knew that deep in his heart, he wasn't right with God. And we took tremendous comfort at his funeral as the priest was up there talking about Rob's last hours, how the priest expressed to him God's love for him, that God sent his son to die for him, that he could have peace. And so he did. He was able to spend his last hours in peace, unafraid, because he finally understood that God loved him and he could love God and he could have a relationship with God without having to go through the motions, without having to have religion. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Rob didn't understand that. He was finally able to spend his last hours in Christ, loving God. I mean, we have an opportunity to be religious. I mean, we've got religious things here. We got a candle on the altar. That's kind of a religious thing. You know, we do that every week. And we have communion. That's a religious thing. It can be. It doesn't need to be. You know, we take communion every week here. And I know some people don't want to take communion every week because they're afraid it's going to become a religious thing. You know, when I grew up as a kid, I remember we used to have communion four times a year. And I found out why that was not too long ago. We used to have, and I grew up in the Methodist church. We had communion four times a year because when John Wesley would do his circuit, it took him 3 months. All the places he went to preach, it took him 3 months to get to every one of them and back to where he started. So in each place, he was only able to do communion four times a year, which is why we only had communion four times a year in the Methodist church when I was growing up. And for some reason, at some point, it became once a month, the first Sunday of every month. I like to do it every week because it means something to me. Communion's not religious. It doesn't need to be religious. We don't take communion because we're at church. We take communion because we love God. We take communion because we love Christ, because we appreciate what he did for us, and we remember it. If you take communion just because, well, we're in church, you take communion, well, then it's religious. We light a candle to remind us that Christ is the light of the world. It's a symbol that represents the fact that he's with us. Well, we know he's with us all the time, even if the candle's out. It was kind of funny in our service this morning. We had brand new candles. We had two candles there. We tried two candles here, but the air conditioner blows down on this one, and it burns about three times faster than that one. So we only have one. But this morning, it was kind of funny because we had brand new candles. I don't know how tall they were, but they burned out in less than 20 minutes. I think the air conditioning was blowing a little hard. I know Ruby was freezing cold. But things like this can get religious. You know, Pastor Tom, who does our service in the morning, he said he remembered years and years ago in a church where he used to preach at, it was the first Sunday he preached, somebody left a note in the offering plate. And he was all excited because somebody left him a note. He's like, oh, somebody left a note to tell me how great my sermon was. He was all excited about it. And he opened it up and it said, Dear Pastor Tom, just wanted to bring to your attention that the candle on the left is about an inch and a half shorter than the candle on the right. Please do something about that. Somebody was there for religion. They might have missed the whole sermon because they're busy looking at the candle. You see, in the church, we can get religious. There was a church we used to go to where they got new hymnals. They got new hymnals. And they sent the pastor out to the store to buy new hymnals because a brand new hymnal came out and it was time to get the new hymnals. And he went to the Cokesbury Christian bookstore to order the hymnals. And they said, well, the hymnals are this much, but we got half off on these red ones. If you get the ones with the red cover, they're half off because somebody ordered a whole bunch of them and then at the last minute decided they didn't want them. So we got them here. We need to get rid of them. They're half off. Well, he decided to be a good steward and he bought the hymnals that were half price and he took them back to the church and somebody said, no, we can't use those. They don't match the carpet. Somebody was being religious. It was another story he was bringing up. I'm talking about my friends today. I hope they don't mind. I had the same thing I was talking about a few weeks ago. I'm going to talk about somebody other than Tom right now. My friend Father Kua, he's a priest in the Anglican Church. He was telling me a couple weeks ago that somebody in the church came up to him after the service. He said, you know, Father Kua, I think we pray a little too much in church. Your service is taking more than an hour because you spend too much time praying. Well, he said to me, you know, I'm going to have to correct that then. And he was talking to me after that, and he said, well, how long do you spend praying in church? He and I were having this talk. Because they teach you in seminary that your worship service needs to be an hour long. You spend 20 minutes singing hymns, 20 minutes praying. That includes your call to worship and the Lord's Prayer and any other prayer time that's going on. And 20 minutes in the message. Okay. Now, some people take this 20-20-20 very seriously. That's an hour. I knew a minister once who he would stand up and he'd start to preach and he'd take his watch off and he'd set it down on his lectern right next to his Bible and he'd stand there and he would start preaching. And when 20 minutes was up, he was done. If he was in the middle of a sentence, he'd stop talking. If he had more points to make, you wouldn't hear them because he was done because 20 minutes were up. He'd sit down. He was done. I don't worry about what time it is. I hope you don't mind. We sing hymns till we're done singing hymns. We pray till we're done praying. I preach till I'm done preaching. But I was talking to him about this fact. He said, well, how do you do that? I said, I don't worry about it. I ask people what we need to pray for, and we pray for those things. In our service in the morning, we have the elders of the church get up, and they go to the front of the church, and anybody who needs healing goes up, and the elders pray over them, and anyone who has other prayer needs goes into the back of the church, and we have a prayer team back there, and we pray, and they pray one-on-one with people who need prayer, and it takes as long as it takes. A little later in the day, Father Kua said to me, you know, you're right. You know what we're going to do tomorrow in church? This was a Saturday. He said, tomorrow I'm going to bring a very short message on the importance of prayer. And then we're going to pray for however long it takes. And if it takes more than an hour, it takes more than an hour. Because he doesn't want to be religious. The prayer time is the time we spend with God. If anything's going to be cut out of a worship service, it's going to be the preaching. Don't worry, I'm not going to cut the preaching out. I know you're all relieved, but it seems like the prayer's the thing to go. Thank you. Okay. Just so you know, I'm actually preaching from the Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Thank you, Robin. Yeah, it sounds like John. John's always talking about love. He loved us. And we have the opportunity to love him. It's not about doing something. It's not about going to church. Coming to church isn't going to get you to heaven. Coming to church isn't going to make you a Christian. I like the analogy. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It's loving God. We come to church because we love him. We sing hymns because we love him. We pray because we love him and we know he loves us. That's what we're doing here. This isn't religion. It's a relationship. We give because he gives. We love because he loves. Even if it takes more than 20 minutes, it continues 24/7, even as we sleep. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
The benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word for us today is relationship. You came into chapel this afternoon, and then maybe you had religion, and hopefully now you're leaving without it. Sounds funny coming from a preacher. We don't need religion. We need to love God. He loved us. He loved us first. He still loves us. Whatever we do, He loves us. Relationship. It's about the relationship. I know some people who are so religious that they go to church and they time their arrival at church just so they can get communion and then leave because they think that'll do something for them. They got religion. They don't have a relationship. You see, the relationship continues when you go out those doors, and it will continue until you come back again. If you got religion, your religion's over. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place blessed, knowing that you are loved, and carrying on in that relationship with God. Amen.